some of our remote viewers have concluded that yes, it's going to happen this time. That we and it will be on the same side of the sun at the same time. And if the remote viewer, and they're getting their information from ETs, from sources within the U.S. government that tell me that yes, they are deeply concerned about it and they're worried sick about it and they don't know what to do about it. What could the government or anyone else tell you? What could they say to you? Would they tell you that grab your hat, dig a hole, hang on? He says, oh, it seems to be a rather nice planet, and we know about it, and it, all we need to do is name it. And then bless his heart, you know, he had never had a heart problem, but within a year he was dead with a heart attack. Incredible race of humans does have a future. And it is in the stars. Mm-hmm. And we are going out there to reclaim our rightful place. You talk about losing a paradigm. My old paradigm literally crumbled around my knees. You know, the world that I thought I lived in, is I learned, was not the world that I lived in. And the reality that I looked around and thought I saw was not the reality that exists. Mm-hmm. That much of what we see is an illusion. It's a result of our own illusions, that the world that exists is not at all what we think it is. And the more I learned, as I said, my old paradigm crashed around my knees. Why I'm getting away with what I'm getting away with, so to speak, where I'm releasing bits and pieces of this cover-up, is that there's somebody back there somewhere who wants me to do what I'm doing. Or I would not have been able to do this.
What about Planet X?
Oh, it's a reality.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what are they going to do about that?
Well, apparently they are concerned about, you know the story. According to Sitchin and according to the Sumerians, it's a reality. Mm-hmm. Well, our astronomers apparently have concluded that it is indeed a reality. For almost a century, astronomers have been concerned and interested about what they called an intruder that seems to come and go from time to time. And they can measure it by the perturbations and the effects on other planets. They've known its existence for a long time. Mm-hmm. But they've never gone public about it. Well, in the early 80s, the JPL, the guys that
Jet Propulsion Lab.
Used to call it Jack Parsons Laboratory.
Yes.
Which I think is probably where the original JPL came from.
Yes.
Because Jack Parsons established it. Anyhow, they sent out a couple of Pioneers satellites back in 82 just to try to determine if there was some truth to it. Mm-hmm. And the Pioneers apparently came back with data which said, not only yes, but hell yes. And the Pioneers concluded, the Pioneer satellite data concluded. So, wow, astronomers were troubled by that. Whew, could this thing be real? And well, what did they do? They sent out what they called an infrared astronomical satellite. I think they called it IRAS, anyhow. And this was done in the 83. They sent the IRAS out, taking infrared pictures all around the ecliptic, above and below. And apparently IRAS got two giant positive responses that yes, the 12th planet, the 10th planet, however you want to call it, yes, it's real. And that's when the lid slammed down.
So it's out there, it's on its way back in, right?
According to the Sumerians and Sitchin, apparently it is. And if you're a student of history, as I, one of my majors, its last pass was 1600 BC. The Sumerians and Sitchin and all of those say it has an orbit of 3,600 years. Mm-hmm. So as like many of us, you know, I count on my fingers and toes and figure out, well, 1600 BC, it has an orbit of 3,600 years. wow, it's due. Well, apparently it is.
So now, why are they keeping this a secret?
Because
you're an expert on secrets.
Listen. Every time Nibiru would make a pass, it was not always devastating. It would depend on whether the planet Earth and Nibiru were on the same side of the sun at the same time. And if we were on the same side of the sun at the same time, all hell would break loose on planet Earth. Well, apparently, last pass triggered the explosion of Santorini, Thera, the volcano in the Mediterranean, in the Aegean Sea, blew its top, brought to a close the great, great Minoan civilization. Among other things, it affected Egypt. It's all in the records, apparently. There are even historians and theologians who say that Santorini's explosion is exactly what you're reading about when the plagues and all hit Egypt that allowed Moses to get the Israelites out. But if you look at 1600 BC and figuring that was a relatively recent past, it's due now, and apparently the guys in the astronomical observatories know it. And that, again, is above top secret. Let me give you a tiny example. For a number of years ago, there were two brilliant guys working at the Naval Observatory in Washington. Tom Van Flandern is one who I hope you've interviewed.
No, but please continue, and we'd love to do
He's
that.
He's no longer with the Naval Observatory. The other one was a chief astronomer at the observatory, a brilliant man by the name of Robert Harrington.
Right.
And Harrington gave an interview to Zechariah Sitchin a number of years ago. I think it was 91 or so. Mm-hmm. Where he came right out and said, Dr. Sitchin, we are interested in this because it ties in perfectly with the work you've done on the Sumerians and the ancient planet Nibiru. He said, we found it. It's real. We have photographs of it. And he says, from what we can put together, it's a rather nice planet. It's about 2.5 times the size of the Earth. Apparently, it's heading toward the system, the center of the system. We've concluded about everything about it, except that we haven't named it. And Zechariah spoke up and he says, it's already been named. He says, you simply call it Nibiru, as the Sumerians called it, the planet of the crossing. Mm-hmm. Well, Mrs. Sitchin and I were in agreement. I miss her. She died about a year ago. Hmm. She was convinced that Robert Harrington had died because somebody bumped him off, because he had the courage to come out and give Zechariah this interview. I don't know whether you've seen it or not. It's on tape.
No, I haven't seen it, but we interviewed Lucas Scantamburlo about this subject, and he's also talked about Robert Harrington.
Yeah, well, Harrington gave the interview to Zechariah, and it's on a video called Are We Alone? Mm. And I think you can pick it up at the conference here next week.
Okay.
I have a copy, and I sent a copy to Neil Freer, who's a man you should interview.
Okay, well, we're in touch with Neil. He's a very interesting guy.
Oh, he's brilliant.
He's a brilliant guy.
He's brilliant. He just recently came out and admitted that he's had an intimate interrelationship with extraterrestrial intelligence since he was a child.
Well, he's always talking about the Anunnaki. I do know this.
Well, he wrote a book called Breaking the God Spell. Mm-hmm. And he has supported Zechariah's work for years.
I have a question, Bob, if I may, about the provenance of this information, in the sense that Zechariah Sitchin's work is very well documented, and a lot of people watching this video will be very familiar with his books and with all the intelligent commentary about that. Are you saying that you have additional information based on your contacts within the Old Boys Network, or are you doing a neat presentation. Of
many of my conclusions are my own, you know, and they, in many respects, correlate perfectly with Sitchin's work, which is, you know, Neil has told me, he says, you know, Zachariah really should get the Nobel Prize, but I don't know what they would grant it to him in what field. But he's such an outstanding scholar in what he's done, and his the Earth Chronicles is what he calls all of his work. Well, I think there's 7 or 8 of them now.
I have 2 questions. One's a minor one to do with celestial mechanics. And it's just something that I've never understood, and I've heard this question from many other people as well. That if Nibiru comes from the outer reaches of the solar system, it's going to be an icy rock, which isn't going to be the kind of place that any beings could live on or would want to live on. And researcher Andy Lloyd, who you probably have heard about, has theorized that what they're seeing in the photographs that you refer to as an orange object is actually a brown dwarf, with the possibility of Nibiru being one of its moons, if you like. And there's a lot of debate about how to apply what Sitchin seems to have been saying to the real practicalities of life on an icy rock out in the orbit of Pluto. And I wondered if you knew or had anything to say about that.
No, it's not an icy rock. And yes, when it makes its long journey out and back, it gets so far away from the sun that the sun is probably no more than a little tiny prick of light, a little tiny pinpoint. And if you would think that it would be naturally icy cold. No, it apparently the planet, like many planets in the system here, generate its own heat. It has in its core a generating heat system very much like our own. We have a system within the core of this planet that is has been described as a thermonuclear reaction, very similar to the sun. Now, most of the life and all of the bounty and all of the beauty of life on this planet comes from our going around this beautiful sun. But I don't think Nibiru is an icy rock. No, I think, first of all, that it probably generates enough of its own heat, and I think they probably did indeed create for themselves, with the advanced technology that they have, a kind of a Dyson sphere. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
You know what brilliant British astronomer, I think, Freeman Dyson said some years ago, that an incredibly advanced technology will have the ability to enclose its planet and retain not only its heat, but its atmosphere. And I suspect that the Anunnaki have done that to Nibiru, and they probably did it, good enough, hundreds of thousands, maybe a million years ago. So the planet, I think the color from it, the dull red golden color, is a result of that envelope of gold shell that they've created. They've created for themselves a Dyson sphere around their planet. And I suspect that any advanced technology will ultimately do the same, simply because it makes sense. It's a practical thing.
If they had that degree of engineering capability, why wouldn't they just live on Mars instead of hurtling through the solar system?
Well, they weren't the original occupants of Mars.
Okay.
They used Mars as a way station, and they've reactivated it. And I agree with Zachariah on that they've reactivated their way system, their way station there. They used to drop off on Mars on their way here. So they were never, I don't think, original inhabitants of Mars.
There
are a few remnants of original inhabitants on Mars. There's even some indications, which I've been looking into, and I've gotten some data, that we're playing host to a bunch of Martians here on this planet. I'm talking about the original species.
Do you know anything about the original Martian species? Or have you...
Other than the only thing, I've talked to a couple of remote viewers who've apparently been able to come face to face with them, so to speak. And they ended up looking a lot like American Indians. You're talking about a false flag kind of situation.
If
we were to pull that off, if any of our idiot nitwits back there think that they could pull that off, I think they'd make absolute damn fools of themselves, because I don't believe it would work. I don't think you can do that when you've got the real power out there that wouldn't allow that to happen.
Not so much an invasion, but a big display in the sky to create fear and to make people easier to control. Right, Carol Rosin said that she had always been told by Wernher von Braun many years ago.
Yeah, Wernher shared that apparently before he died, that it was one of the programs that the government at the time was considering. You know, they've had these little plots they've been working on all the time. This war, that war, the stock market crash, this, that, you know, all these little magician things that while I'm showing you this hand, I'm picking your pocket with this one. They may have had that in mind at that time, but I don't think they're thinking of it seriously now, because I think that our so-called powers that be, which is a joke, are in such close relationship and collusion with the real power that it would never work, that they would never allow it. It's like they're not going to allow a thermonuclear war.
Yeah.
There's too much valuable real estate here.
Well, okay, I have a question for you, because he's got a book out called End of Days.
Yes.
And in that book, he actually talks about Nibiru and the return, but he doesn't say that it's actually going to happen now.
He says he thinks it's about 2060. That was his estimate.
Okay, and so where does this information that you have and 2012, how do we put this all together? Because I'm going to say something about what you're telling us, because it's clear that you're something of an intelligence analyst yourself. You certainly have an incredible background. You can cross-correlate and so on. But you also have some insider contacts, and you also have... contact with Anunnaki, as you said, all right? So where are you getting your information, and are they saying anything specific about what's happening 2012? Because I'm not so sure about Zachariah's conclusion.
That's 2060, but apparently it could be before that. The Department of Defense is quite concerned about it, that there are entire sections of the Defense Department that are working on that subject, and particularly. The big question is, are we and it going to be on the same side of the sun at the same time? And some of our remote viewers have concluded that, yes, it's going to happen this time. That we and it will be on the same side of the sun at the same time. And if the remote viewer, and they're getting their information from ETs, and much of my information from this same source. And yes, we're in for some bad times.
And we're talking about while we're still here on the planet, because I don't know that we'd be alive during 2016.
Well, I don't know whether I'll still be here or not. You know, I'll be 80 in March, and, you know, I've got a ticket out of here.
Right.
I've got it stamped. I've got it paid.
But
I'm 9 years beyond my warranty as it is.
No, but I think you're going to live quite a while. So we've got this interesting thing going on, and we have a huge crackdown on anything to do with Planet X. It's
yes.
been made the laughing stock. It's an amazing thing.
Really. Oh, the ridicule is.
I think it supersedes even the ET ridicule.
Oh, it does. It does.
You know, I think it's been so strong, and it actually has come, I would say, from the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they so afraid of, number one? And number two, have you heard the theory that basically what has to happen is a protective shield is going to be put around the Earth such that this time it's actually not going to have the impact that they think it has in the past?
I've heard that rumor in passing. And The technology exists to do that. What I have a suspicion is that much of what will transpire will be allowed to transpire. The earth is not going to be destroyed, and the human race is not going to come to an end. But it is going to be a difficult period of time when it begins, and let me tell you, it has already begun. The reaction from the sun is a clear response to the presence of this other body. Now, this other body has already been photographed by telescopes in southern Chile and in New Zealand. I had asked Marcia to dig into her files. I had an article from a good friend who publishes a magazine in Rome. And Adriano, I don't know whether you know about Adriano Forgione, brilliant young man.
Yes.
Anyhow, he has connections with the Vatican. He has good friends who are Jesuit priests and astronomers. And the Vatican is concerned about it. Anyhow, Adriano sent me an article including two photographs that have been taken of Nibiru already, taken by primarily, I think, the observatory in Chile. But they've taken pictures at an observatory in New Zealand as well. So it's close enough now that optical telescopes have pictures of it. And they're studying it carefully to try to determine, what is it they call it, the celestial mechanics of how everything moves. Well, if our remote viewers are correct, and the ETs have given us some rundown on it, it's going to be a difficult passing. Because we and it are going to be on the same side of the sun at the same time, and that means all hell's going to break loose. Now, they have the technology. We're talking about not only Anunnaki. There are intelligences out there that began a billion years ago, and they have technology that puts them in a category of what Kaku would call a Type 3 civilization.
Mm-hmm.
So that a Type 3 civilization has the technology to ameliorate or mitigate the passing of Nibiru. Now, whether they do that, as you say, put a protective shield around it, Nibiru has done that for itself. They have a protective shield around their planet, which is why in the photographs it comes out as kind of reddish gold. And apparently that's why they came here for the gold in the first place, because they were losing their atmosphere and they needed to seed gold particles in their atmosphere to keep the atmosphere from, you know, they go on a long trip out there.
Okay, but the Anunnaki are here, you're saying, and yet the Anunnaki are supposedly on Nibiru as well? Or what are you thinking, or what's your sources telling you about this?
The civilization, the Anunnaki civilization, is on the planet. But the Anunnaki are on this planet as well, all over the damn place, under the sea, at facilities that we know about, inside Mount Hayes in Alaska, inside Mount Perdido in the Pyrenees. There's one right in the middle of Australia, which is near Alice Springs, and what's the facility out there?
Pine Gap.
Yes, thank you, my friend. Pine Gap. And that happens to be the R&R facility, according to the remote viewers.
What's R&R? I'm sorry.
Rest and relaxation. It's what we used to call it in the military when we.
The R&R facility for who? What, the Anunnaki?
For the ET.
Really?
And the Anunnakis, yes.
Pine Gap.
And they're dealing with human beings. They need rest and relaxation. But anyhow, the rumor is that Pine Gap is primarily an R&R facility.
Hmm. Have you been there?
I've been to Australia. I haven't been to Pine Gap, no.
Would you lie to me?
Sometimes, maybe, but not right now, no.
Okay.
No, I haven't been to Pine Gap. A lot of my work has been a result of analyzing and sifting and evaluating the work of others. That's what an intelligence analyst does. Takes data from a variety of sources, but I have some information that I have been provided from sources within the U.S. government that tell me that, yes, they are deeply concerned about it, and they're worried sick about it, and they don't know what to do about it, because we don't have the power to do a damn thing about it.
Is the estimated date, as best you are given to understand by your sources, in the next few years, rather than Sitchin's estimate of 2060?
Well, let me tell you something about... You're talking about 2012?
There are some serious Plandex researchers who say that we'll see the thing next year, and the thing's going to start...
I think you may see it next year, but I don't think you're going to have the hell breaking loose until maybe about 2020. You're going to have a build-up of factors. It's not going to happen all of a sudden, just like that. You're not going to go out the front door and all hell's breaking loose. You're going to see a series of events taking place involving our geologic structures. You're going to have increased volcanic activity. You're going to have increased sunspot activity. We're at a low right now. Mm-hmm. But you're going to see tremendous sunspot activity. You're going to see tremendous geologic activity. The Ring of Fire will probably erupt. Now, these are all going to be clues that all hell is coming, you know. You're going to have storms. The cyclones have been getting worse, and the hurricanes have been getting worse. You're going to have hurricanes showing up in places that they really haven't troubled us for a long, long time. So you're going to have a build-up, not slowly, but it's a consistent build-up of geological and weather and sunspot activities. And you're probably going to... The estimate that I've heard from people who have studied it is about 2020.
Okay, but we have heard that Sitchin, as well-meaning as he may be, is working for the government. And my understanding would be is that they don't want this information out. So they're doing everything in their power to make sure that it's ridiculed, as we've observed.
Carrie, what could the government or anyone else tell you? What could they say to you? Would they tell you that grab your hat, dig a hole, hang on? Would anything they
say... Is that what the underground bases is all about?
Well, I have always had the conviction, and I've put this together over the years, that the so-called elite, the creme de la creme, when they're self-designated, you know, they have been preparing for chaos for years. It initially was initiated by the thermonuclear threat with the Soviets. Underground, fallout shelters where we could go. We have our own air conditioning. We can have our own food supplies and our own water supplies. That was a program that began that I worked very closely with when I was with FEMA over the years. I've been in underground facilities you wouldn't believe. Mm-hmm. And there are facilities everywhere that are not known. I mean, there's a big facility right under Fort Huachuca here in Arizona. I mean, a massive one. Never come out. I'm telling it now, but, there's a deep, deep, massive underground facility under Fort Huachuca. They're all over the place.
So, okay, first they reacted to the Soviet threat and all that, and the nuclear
It'll build
war.
Up slowly, and it's already subtly begun. And they don't want to talk about it. No one wants to share it. I mean, look, for God's sake, what they've the lid they've kept on the reality of ET activity on the Moon and Mars. Mm-hmm. Oh, with the ridicule factor. And the lid coming down, and I think Menlover did lose his life because he said too much. He says, it seems to be a rather nice planet, and we know about it, and all we need to do is name it. And then bless his heart, he had never had a heart problem, but within a year he was dead with a heart attack. When Ike met that crowd at Muroc, which is now Edwards,
right,
in 54. Uh-huh. He met the Anunnaki. Mm. Poor Ike, not long after that, had a heart attack. Mm. It was more than he was able to deal with. The shock of that reality took a toll on him. Mm. And that's one of the reasons why the Brookings Report reached the conclusion it did. You can't tell those poor folks out there all this. They couldn't handle it. Well, BS, they can handle it. Damn, human beings can handle anything. I mean,
I have to agree with you.
We've gone through hell over the centuries. If we could handle Attila the Hun and Adolf Hitler, we can handle anything. We've been designed to handle anything. We haven't been designed to live very long.
The secret space program and terraforming, because there is some terraforming going on, preparing for what might happen if Nibiru comes through and if the Earth is in such a state. We're talking about terraforming Mars, maybe beyond. Have you heard things about this?
Yes, terraforming is a fine art. It's been going on for millions of years. The Earth itself was terraformed.
Right.
You know, it was prepared. The garden was prepared for life. Mm-hmm. And then life was introduced and has been nurtured since, from the very beginning. Terraforming is a fine art. And some of those guys out there who've been around a billion years are pretty good at it. So, you see, I don't know whether they're planning to re-terraform us after Nibiru passes, or are they going to try to help alleviate the damage in the meantime? I would suspect that the latter. Mm-hmm. Maybe they are planning through their engineering genius, and my God, the fact is that, you know, they've got artificially constructed objects in space in the rings of Saturn that are over 2,000 miles long. Spaceships 2,000 miles long. I have pictures. The government we've got is probably being totally run by the Anunnaki, because there is a power beyond power that's pulling the strings.
Right.
They call them the Illuminati, but there are guys above the Illuminati that are really in power.
Okay, but we're told the Vatican is behind a lot of it. And that, in other words, the Vatican is behind what's going on in the U.S., that there's a plan, and you've got the Anunnaki. This is not a positive plan, okay, to take down the U.S.,
Well, they think it is.
Do you think it is?
Their ultimate idea is, yes, a positive idea.
Okay, what is it?
A one-world government.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
Of course that's what they want.
Right.
And they're going to have it eventually.
Absolutely. Now, you can have a positive one,
but the growing pains, right? The growing pains that we go through before we get there, it's going to be pretty horrendous. Not only are we going to have to put up with this crap with Nibiru, mm-hmm. which is a real thing, but this growing process that we're going through to end up eventually with a one-world government is going to be painful as hell. And there's going to be a lot of blood on the streets before it's over with. Mm-hmm. Sadly enough, that's in my opinion, a fact. And that's being manipulated from a very high level. I tell you, 2012, don't matter. Mm-hmm. First of all, Christ was born 7 years before. And this is a fact. And if you don't believe me, get Sir Lawrence Gardner, who's probably one of the best historians we've got working today. Lawrence Gardner's got the facts. Jesus was born in 7 BC on the 1st of March. Now, if you want to count from his birth, like we supposedly have been doing, add 7 years to 2008. You end up with 2015. That's pretty close to what
20, you're saying we're actually in the year 2015 now.
No, we're in the year 2015 right now.
Right. So yes. That means that Nibiru, when you say it's coming in 2020, is actually due in about 5 years.
Probably.
So we're looking at 2013 by our calendar.
Well, no later than 2017. I'll throw 2017 out.
Okay.
And you can take that to the bank. 2017. Now,
okay,
that, you know, that'll give or take a year or two, because the celestial mechanics, they haven't really worked it all out yet. We've got computers you wouldn't believe, but they're still trying to feed in some of the data.
So is one of the remote viewers, you're in touch with Ingo Swann?
I haven't been in touch with Ingo for some time.